I've been told that today is the National Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So we've been asked to pray. If we could, I'm going to open in prayer and pray for the offering. And then if you could just go into twos and pray for the persecuted church all around the world, people that are standing up for what they believe. Amen. Okay, thank you, Father God. Oh, Father God, thank you for the privilege and the honor of being here this morning to serve, to honor, to worship you openly, Lord God, in a country, Lord God, that we still have the privilege and the freedom to call you our Lord. Father God, this morning we come together as a body, Lord, a part of the body, Lord, to pray for the rest of our body that is hurting, Lord, and the rest of our body that is persecuted, Lord. Father, we know that their faith is made strong in you, Father God, but we just thank you that in their fire, in the persecution, they know your presence, God. Lord, we just thank you that we have the privilege also of receiving from you this morning, Lord God, alms and offering and tithes, Lord God, to sow into the kingdom, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that we may be good stewards of this, Lord. May we use this to honor, to grow the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Does anybody have a scripture or anything they want to read? Anyone? Do you want to read anything? Okay. Do you want to just read it?
Father, we thank you that as our brothers and sisters, Father, in the churches worldwide, Lord, as they dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that you will be their refuge and their fortress, their God and Him. They will lean and rely on in Him. They will confidently trust. Thank you, Lord, that you will deliver them from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. You will cover them with your pinions, and under your wings they shall trust and find refuge. Thank you that your truth and your faithfulness are shield and a buckler. Thank you, Lord, that they shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at their side, and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come near them. Only as spectators shall they be, as they witness the reward of the wicked. Yeah. And because they have made the Lord their refuge and the Most High their dwelling place.
Amen. Don't know what's going on here, but I've got 4 cups of water. So if anyone's thirsty at any point, we'll sort it out. Don't worry about it. And I absolutely have no idea what's going on with the weather. What is this? Is this normal for Franschhoek? I keep asking people because I really need some answers here. Your global cooling, yeah. I think we have to say a prayer this morning for all our friends that got it wrong and went camping this morning. I think we might have to send out the lifeboats in a minute. But seriously, Yanni and I are seriously considering a career change. Yesterday, we had our first photo shoot. We went to Shani Marais, for anyone that knows Shani Marais. She's a photographer in town, really cool. Thanks for whoever suggested it. We really enjoyed it, you know. It started off like being a little bit tense and a bit like, but then by the end of it, we were like, and we were seriously going for it. Yanni is a natural. I mean, come on, think about it. You don't even have to get out of bed for under a million. I mean, I could do this, you know. It was like quite glamorous. What happened was the HQ, Shofar, has asked us for some photos of ourselves so that they're going to print some material for all the churches, and it's going to be a corporate thing. And I sent a bunch of photos of us, but they didn't seem to like them, and I don't understand why. I thought they were really good photos. And I've actually taken some. I mean, I brought some to show you guys. This is report back from the Princess Tea Party this year. I think that's really good. Hey? Oh, you can't really see this one. This is a morning wake-up call. Okay? Okay, this one they just said, okay, moving on. They just said, this is not last century. They want this century. Okay, so this was... Okay, and then they asked for some individual shots, and I thought this was very good for the fisher of men. Don't you think? And then the Turkish man and his best friend Max, but you can't really make Max out there, but he's there. Okay, and then the million-dollar pout. Can you see that? So these are the photos I sent, but they just weren't buying it. So we went and did some nice photo shoot, and it was really fun. But yeah, this morning, hope Yanni can forgive me for making some fun of him. He often makes fun of me, so I think he can forgive me. Yeah, I just wanted to share some fun with you. This morning's message is on forgiveness. It's about the freedom of forgiveness. And the key passage for today is my very favorite in the Bible, and I've been wanting to speak about this passage for a long time, but anyway, this time the Lord led me to it. So I'd really like you to follow with me if you do have your Bibles. It is quite a long passage. So as you know, Yanni has mentioned before, this is not just a club where we get together and say nice things to each other. Amen? It's a church. We bring Bibles. So if you brought your Bible, just follow with me. Luke 7:36. We're going to read right through to 50. And if you can, just keep it there because we're going to keep referring back and I'm going to keep referring you to the scriptures. Okay, so, but, okay, we have got it up for those of you that do need to follow. Okay, we're going to read from 36. One of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, who's touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, answering, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Certain moneylender had two debtors who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. I just want to open in prayer. Father, we love your word, Lord, and it's a privilege and an honor for me to stand here this day. And Lord, read your word that sets the captives free, Lord. I thank you that today, Holy Spirit, that you guide me into all truth, Lord, that not one word that comes out of my mouth will be from my flesh, but from you, Lord. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to your word and that we would truly receive a rhema, a revelation, Lord, of what you have done, of who you are and who we are in you, Christ. In your name's sake, amen. Okay, so... whenever I read this story, I do want to cry. So if I do start crying at any point, I mean, I honestly, while I was putting this together and last night while I was reading it, I actually couldn't stop. I was walking up and down in the kitchen. Yanni had gone to bed and I was just crying and weeping and whooping and it was just amazing. So if I do start doing that today, bear with me. You're welcome to do it though. You're very welcome to do it. So there's this woman in Luke. Now, she remains nameless. This woman that is the sinner, okay? Some think and have said that she is Mary Magdalene, but it's not proven. And Some think that she's the woman that is spoken of in Luke 10 and Matthew and Mark and all the Gospels, but it's not that same woman. That's the woman that was Mary, Lazarus' sister, Martha's sister. She went and anointed Jesus' head with nard. Do you remember that story? Okay, this is a different lady. And to me, that story speaks of anointing, you know, the preparing Christ for his burial and all of that. This story speaks of forgiveness and the freedom of forgiveness. And there was an illustration by Pastor Stephen Wages, from whom I get this material. A Spanish father had become estranged from his son. They were fighting the whole time and they just couldn't see eye to eye. And then the son left home. And his father started to look for his son. And he spent months looking and looking and looking for his son to no avail. And one day, out of desperate measures, he puts an ad in the newspaper. And the ad said, it was in a Madrid newspaper, and it said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday." And on Saturday, 800 Pacos were there, looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. The guilt and the shame of the past mistakes and failures haunt us. People, how many of you know that people are looking, this world is starving for forgiveness? We are looking and starving for forgiveness. And the saddest thing is that it's so often that in the church is the place where we should find this forgiveness first. And we don't. So often it's the people in church who have been forgiven much who are the most unforgiving. But we're going to learn so much from this lady today. She learned a couple of things, and I've just broken it down into two main parts. The first thing that she challenges us to do is to take the forgiveness. It's what joy to know that our sins have been forgiven, are being forgiven, and will be forgiven. In Psalm 32, 1, David says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." And in Romans 4, 8, Paul says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." What they were both talking about here is the joy of knowing that you are truly forgiven, that you are truly free. G.K. Chesterton, I found this quote, says, "God paints in many colors, but he never paints so gorgeously as when he paints in white." Isn't that so beautiful? Isaiah 1:18, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Guys, I need you to get this morning. We are so condemned. We walk around with this condemnation. But this is something that God wants us to get this morning. He has taken our dirty hearts and with the blood of the Lord Jesus has painted them white as snow. So we're going back to Luke 7. Just stay with that and we're going to keep going back. This woman grabbed hold of the forgiveness. She understood a couple of things. She understood the necessity for forgiveness. Okay. Called her a woman in the city. Okay, it says, a woman in the city which was a sinner. And the Pharisee also says there in 39, he says, she is a sinner. And even Jesus himself says in verse 47, her sins, which are many. Okay, so how many of you admit she's a sinner? Okay, it's undeniable. This woman's a sinner. Okay, but what they mean by in the city there, it doesn't mean, it's not talking about location. It's talking about reputation. The woman in the city is talking about reputation. Now, some people have said that she was a prostitute. Again, that's not founded. She was a woman in the city. And I personally, it talks about how the Pharisee knew her reputation. So he turns around and he says, if he was a prophet, he would know. Okay, because everyone knew this woman. Everyone knew her reputation. And the reason I think that I relate to this story so much, the reason I can't read the story without weeping is that I was very much this woman. And I don't know about you, but I knew the city. I knew the city life. I knew the city nights. I knew the city well. I knew the city Johannesburg. I knew the city New York. I knew any city I was in. Okay, but this really truly resonates in my heart because I found myself in a place where I had a reputation. Okay, and I might have been in denial because in my mind I was still like just this good Greek girl who had a big appetite for life. Okay, but I had a reputation, a serious reputation, and so does this woman. But it suggested in Romans 3:23. Okay, so she has a reputation, I had a reputation. But here's my challenge. We all had a reputation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 4:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Amen. So it doesn't matter what life you led. It doesn't matter if you led a very moral life. It doesn't matter if you were the worst sinner from the worst places. All have sinned. Okay, so this story applies to all of us. Okay. So, the second truth that she had this necessity for forgiveness, all right? The second truth that she shares with us is the simplicity of forgiveness. Okay. Here's a woman whose life was perverted by sin. And everyone in the city knew who she was, even the Pharisees. But in verse 48, we hear Jesus say something so simply, so beautifully. He says, your sins are forgiven. As far as Jesus was concerned, it was that simple. It was that simple. To a sinful woman, forgiveness was a matter of necessity. But to the supreme Savior, forgiveness was a matter of simplicity. He says, your sins are forgiven. So the statement shows us two things. Guys, stay with me this morning. It tells us two things. First, there is no person God won't forgive. There is no person God won't forgive. Whether your sins are big or small, or you led this really good moral life in your mind, or your life's a mess, God can and will forgive you. I know there's a lot of people that get caught up in that scripture about the unpardonable sin. I know I was tormented for years with it. And I believe even Martin Luther was tormented by that. I guarantee you almost 100% there's no one in this room that's committed the unpardonable sin. There is no sin you have committed that Jesus Christ will not forgive you. Okay. Then the second thing is there's no past God can't forgive. Look again at the statement. Your sins are forgiven. What did he mean when he even used the word forgiven? And I tell you what the Greek word for forgiven is. It's aphimi. Can you say it? Aphimi. Cool, man. We have Greek lessons. And it literally means to send away. It literally means to send away. To a woman who was a sinner who had committed many sins, Jesus says your sins are sent away. Who she was and what she had done, all taken away. And it refers back to what John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Psalm 103:112 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He has removed them from us distances you can't even imagine. Isaiah 38:17, you will cast all my sins behind your back. And Micah 7:19, he will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I love this quote by Corrie ten Boom. When I bring my sins to the Lord Jesus, he casts them into the depths of the sea, forgiven and forgotten. He also put up a sign, no fishing allowed. I love that. And I was reading this incredible, inspiring story by Brownlow North. He was a dynamic English pastor, and he was invited to one of the biggest churches in London to preach. And while he was arriving, and they were greeting a whole lot of people, someone walked up to him and put a little piece of paper in his hand. And he didn't take note of it. He stuck it in his pocket, and he carried on. And it was time to preach, so he took out the little piece of paper to look at it just in case there was something he had to know. And as he read it, it said, it had all the dates, places, things, and sins that he had committed in his past life. And at the bottom of it said, now I dare you to stand up and preach after you are guilty of all these things. And Brownlow North stepped into the pulpit and shared the note to the congregation. He read every date, everything, every place, every sin that was listed. And he said, I confess that everything in this note is true. I must also confess that these are things I have done. There are things that I've done that are not included in this note. But my friend has overlooked one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all of my sin. Amen. He says, my sins are gone. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. He has blotted them out. He has cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. Wow, that is so wow. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 John 1:19. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus says to you and to this woman today, you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. If you need forgiveness today, if you find yourself in this place, reach out and take it. Guys, I don't know about you, but I often get crippled with this. The enemy comes against me so often. Maybe because I have got a past that he thinks that it's fun to play with this part of my life. But I guarantee you, this time it's war. I've had it with that. What's that about? Reach out and take it. Okay, because he said it, it's that simple. So to recap, the woman in our story is challenged to take the forgiveness offered, but now she's challenged us to take it. Now we are being challenged to appreciate it. Okay, now this is where it's going to get a little bit uncomfortable in your chairs. Okay, whenever I think of the story, I can't help but think of the story in Romans 5:20. It says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's another one of my favorite scriptures. Tell you what, I think I needed more grace than anybody here. Her sins were many, and yet she was forgiven. Even though her sins were great, God's forgiveness was far greater. And then what this shows us again is that no one has gone so far in sin that grace of God is not enough for you. So no matter who you are, God's forgiveness is available. Check this out. I've got a completely empty page. That's cool. Mistake. It just says available. That's really cool. So this to me is one of the most beautiful scenes in the Bible, where this forgiven sinner expresses her gratitude to one who has forgiven her. Read with me from 37. She brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Isn't that the most beautiful thing ever? I'm not going to cry. She proved her love. There's so many ways here she proved her love. Everything about her actions proved that she had a deep and definite and devoted love for Jesus. In fact, Jesus says to Simon in verse 44, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. From the very moment that Jesus walked into that house, she wept and washed and wiped and worshipped. She recognized the one that would forgive her soul. What would possess her to act this way? Nothing else but a fever-pitched love for Jesus. Most amazing thing is that as we sit here in this church today and have sat here for years, that this fever-pitched love seems not to have got any stronger. Don't you think that, wouldn't it make sense? I mean, this woman didn't even know that Jesus was about to go to the cross. She didn't even know that. And yet she loved him with that fire, with that desire to serve him, with her tears, with her entire being. And yet the saddest thing is, we sit in church learning about his goodness, learning about his mercy, learning what it cost to go to the cross, and that fever-pitched love is not there. Instead, we grow colder. Guys, this woman's challenging us today. She's challenging us today. Are you burning with the love for him today? Not only do we see her love that proved it, but we see her life that declared it. So this uninvited woman slips into the house and showers Jesus with all the tokens of love. One of her acts is described in verse 44. She has washed them, he's talking about his feet, with her tears and wiped them with her hair. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, Paul talks of the woman's hair as her glory. Okay, I've all read that. So this woman takes her long hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. Glory, touching glory. Guys, get this, it's so beautiful. The glory of her hair touched the glory of the feet of the Son of God. She anointed his feet with the fragrant ointment of perfume, and then she took it away as she wiped her hair with his feet, or wiped his feet with her hair. So when she left the house, the glory was still with her. Jesus and the woman carried the same sweet fragrance. She carried the fragrance of Jesus, or he carried the fragrance of the ointment, and she carried the fragrance of Jesus. But the fragrance was forgiveness. It was the fragrance they both carried. So you remember that everyone in the city knew her. Everyone in the city, when they saw her, they saw that woman of reputation. But now, get this, she comes along and she's got a different fragrance. Now she comes along and they smell forgiveness. They smell the glory. The fragrance of her life declared the fact that she was no longer who she used to be and what she used to be, but she had met Jesus. Her sins, which were many, were taken away and she was forgiven. Hallelujah. People, the smell of a different fragrance should be around us. Those of us who have touched his glory of forgiveness, we should carry this fragrance wherever we go. People should know the difference in our lives. So finally, we see her love that proved it and the life that declared it, and now her Lord that deserved it. You see, now this is the key. In the ancient Jewish customs, It was good manners for when your guest arrives, you give them water to wash their hands and their face and their feet. But Simon didn't do this. Simon was, in his mind, a very righteous man, very pious man. And another custom they had was when the guest arrived, you would kiss them to make them feel welcome. I mean, it's something that we do in our house. It's also a Greek custom. So if you do come to our house, be prepared. We will kiss you. Sometimes furiously. And as well as the oil that was given for the guests to refresh themselves. You must understand, we all know the history of the times, very dusty times. You know, they walked around. And so these were things that you gave. It was customary to treat your guests with that kind of kindness. Okay, but Simon didn't do this for Jesus. Yet this woman slipped in, apparently uninvited, and took upon herself to serve the Lord Jesus with these common courtesies. From the moment he arrived, she did not stop serving him, kissing him. But why? Because she knew that her Lord deserved nothing less than her love, her loyalty, and her life. Thus Jesus says in verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. could stand here today and give you many reasons to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I don't have to, because one of the most amazing things is the forgiveness that you've experienced, the grace that you have experienced. Did you notice Jesus says she was forgiven of many sins. As a result, she loved much. Do you understand that Jesus is saying, he's saying that the person who appreciates God's forgiveness is a person who will love him much. But someone who loves little is someone who does not appreciate his forgiveness. I'm coming to an end, guys, so just bear with me. We are going to have communion as well this morning, so I really don't know how to take this home for you. I really hope you're getting this, because I really will start crying if you don't. If you need to receive forgiveness today, if you are sitting here and you've been struggling with unforgiveness in your life, either from God, if the enemy has come against you and he is carrying shame over your life, if shame is haunting you, okay, this is an end to that. No matter what you've done, no matter what has been done to you, there's forgiveness, complete forgiveness, put away kind of forgiveness forever. And it's time to put an end to allowing the enemy to accuse you. He comes, he plays these games, he loves to do that with us. He loves to come and give you that bait, that hook, you know, that bait that is so tasty looking, and then you fall for it, and then you're hooked. And then he gets you. Then he comes at you, man. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. How could you fall for that again? You know what I mean? And he does that again and again, and we live in it. We live in it. We live in this burden. Guys, Christ came to set us free. This is the most freeing forgiveness. Forgiveness is freedom. Freedom to be as ridiculous. Wash his feet with your tears, man. Don't try and be like Simon. Don't be pious. Don't try and prove you righteous. You're not. You're a sinner. You were a sinner. You're forgiven. We're forgiven. We're not going to walk out of here with condemnation hanging over our heads one more day. Every single person in this room will leave here understanding they're forgiven. Okay, I just can't start with the... If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sin, don't be ashamed. Bring it to the light. If there's sin, bring it to the light and you leave it. You come to the altar today and you bring it to the light and you leave it and it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, the idea is to, you know, the question to ask ourselves, do we appreciate his forgiveness? No one should ever have to beg us to serve him, to worship him, to honor him. If you are truly grateful for the fact that you have been forgiven, the thermometer of your life should reveal a burning fever of love for Jesus. If you're not burning up this day, if worship doesn't bring you to tears, if being in your room and you're sitting in his presence and he shows up by his spirit doesn't bring you to hysterical tears, then your fever has gone cold. And today we're going to break bread and we're going to have wine and we're going to declare ourselves forgiven. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's something that happens as Christians, okay? In the beginning, we receive this forgiveness. Sometimes we don't understand why. If there's anyone in this room that doesn't understand how this forgiveness comes, just do it by faith. Reach out and take it by faith. Okay, you declare it, I'm forgiven. The word says you are forgiven. The word says he loves you. If you can grasp that today, okay, by faith. But there's something that happens. It happens initially, but then we let it go. We forget. So it doesn't matter what sins you have committed. If you ask God to forgive you, it is forgiven. You don't have to be chained to a sinful past. This woman that we read about, she expected Jesus to condemn her because everybody else was. She expected Jesus to condemn her, but instead he came and he comforted her. He number one speaks words of freedom, but then he goes one step further. He says, go in peace. Guys, this is key for us today. He says, go in peace. He didn't say wallow in your guilt. He said, go in peace. He's telling her sins are no more. So today, as we break the bread, we're going to affirm it as a fact and we're going to accept it by faith. I'm just waiting for all the elements to be handed out before we carry on. Bow our heads. I want you to understand. Thank you. This is a case for anyone who wants to be delivered from the shame and the guilt of past sins that haunt and harass you. If your sin has been confessed and repented of, as far as Jesus is concerned, it has been forgiven and forgotten. In 1 John 1:19, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, those of you in the room today who need to come to this altar, the Bible says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If you want to start looking forward instead of backwards, you need to come and leave it here today. The Bible says when you are breaking bread, Jesus did this with his disciples, and it says when you're breaking the bread, consider all those that you have unforgiveness towards. And you know, ourselves are one of those people that we tend to forgive, that we hold the most unforgiveness towards. So today, when you sit and do this, I want you to take a moment, forgive anyone that's hurt you, any shame that is attached to something that has been done to you. You break that bread. We're going to do it now with all the authority that it gave us. This bread, this wine symbolizes the body that was broken for all iniquity, the blood that was shed for all sin, which testifies from the ground of our forgiveness. There is power in the symbolism this morning. We're going to do it and we're going to leave it here. And it's covered. It is finished. It is done. Okay, I'm just going to read this prayer. Lord, thank you that I am clean before you. Thank you that you do not see what I did in my sin and what Jesus, but you see what Jesus did for my sin. Lord, I know that I did wrong. I'm sorry, not because I got caught, but because I broke your heart and violated your holy standard. Therefore, on the authority of your word, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. Since you no longer remember my sin, I don't have to, and I refuse to live in the devil's basement any longer. You say that I am forgiven, therefore I am forgiven. I forgive myself for what I have done. Now I want us to just take a moment and you bring that to the Lord. You bring that prayer to the Lord in your own words. You bring that prayer to the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you for everything that was done on the cross. Lord, we thank you for the bloody cross. We thank you, Lord, for the empty tomb. We thank you, Lord, for the glorified Savior. Father, I thank you that as we break bread today, Lord, and as we drink this wine, we bring before you, Father God, our brokenness. We bring before you, God, our sin. We bring before you, Lord God Almighty, our shame, our devastation, our depravity. And Lord, we thank you that you take the scarlet blood of Jesus and you make us as white as snow. I thank you that the enemy will no longer have anything to toy with us, Lord. We declare it today, Lord God, that we are saved and set free. We are forgiven. We are new this day, Lord. Lord, we are reminded of this as we take this bread, Lord, and we eat it. We thank you that our bodies are made whole. Lord, our minds are made new, that our sanctification has begun, and that you are faithful, God, to complete the work that you have started. So, Lord, we receive this body. And we receive healing. We receive restoration. We receive wholeness in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that as we drink this blood, Lord, that we would receive a revelation of what it cost to shed your blood on the cross, Lord Jesus. By your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would truly grasp and understand the love that you had for us when you counted a joy to go to the cross. Lord Jesus Christ, we will receive now full redemption, Lord, full forgiveness, Lord Jesus, and never again look back, but pressing forward, Lord, to the greatest prize of all, which is intimacy with you for eternity, Lord. We thank you for the blood that was shed. Ministry at all today, if there's anything going on and that we can agree with you on, if there's anything in your lives that is causing you to hurt or to stumble, or please come up. We would really love to pray with you today. But as you go today in peace, know that you are forgiven, you are loved, you are brand new. And if the enemy comes against you, you declare it. Amen. You dust yourselves off. You tell them how it is. And you get busy. Amen. Bless you as you go on this very fabulous rainy day.